Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and welcome to the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's also Super Bowl Sunday, and just an interesting little tidbit, when Father and I were relaxing between Masses, I saw something that, it's from EWTN, so I assume it's probably true, but they said that the Holy Father will, for the first time in history, address the crowd at the Super Bowl game, and then air a commercial throughout all the world regarding the game, friendship, and fellowship. We'll see if it happens. It's also the last day round of the Phoenix Open, and it's also the 3-month anniversary of my ordination to the diaconate. So, thank you. What could all of these things have in common? Think of, you know. Well, I want to tell you that the scriptures ties this all together for one reason. Because Jesus tells us in the scriptures that we are salt and that we are light. And I'm sure, I know I have, been called many things before. Some good, some not so good. But I've never been called salt. I think Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." So let's break that open and see, what does that actually mean? So salt has been around for an awfully long time. Salt actually was something that was used for the wealthy with royalty throughout Persia and Egypt. If you look at the word salt, the word salary has the stem of salt. And so Roman soldiers were compensated for their time. They were given packets of salt. So it had a tremendous value within there. But it also, most importantly, was used as a preservative for food. Before the advent of refrigerators, refrigeration, they had nothing to keep, especially meat, good. So salt actually preserved what was good, and it also gave it taste. Think of other characteristics of salt. We all have it in our cupboards. It's very small, it's granular, it can enter locations that you don't even know it's there. It gives tremendous taste, it also dissolves. So you put salt, you don't even see it's there, but it leaves a permanent impact in doing that. And when it's good, it's white and it's pure as snow. Let's break it down even further. I'm a scientist, I love science. So salt is sodium chloride. So what is sodium? The 11th element in the periodic table. At room temperature, sodium is just a silvery substance, it's a metal. Chloride, the 17th element in the periodic table, at room temperature, that's actually a gas. And by itself, chlorine can actually even be dangerous and deadly. As we know, unfortunately, it's been used as a weapon of mass destruction. But together, when you combine sodium and chloride, that has revolutionized the world as we know it. That has changed everything that we know about it. Are you beginning to see why possibly Jesus called us the salt of the earth? Even deeper, at a cellular level, salt is important for the maintenance of our fluid balance within it. And without it, we would die. So think of that. On our own, we can do nothing. On our own, we too die. But with the infusion of the Blessed Trinity, with the infusion of the Holy Spirit, divine life within us, that's what transforms us. That's what moves us forward. That's why that is so important. I want you to think, when do you think that happened to us? When did you become salt? Take a moment, think about that. Your baptism. Some of you may not even recognize that you're salt, but it was in your baptism. That's what we call baptism, the gateway to all sacraments. It is vitally important. When the priest or deacon sprinkles water on your head and baptizes you, and then anoints you with the chrism of salvation, he claims you for Christ. But with that gift of baptism also has tremendous responsibility. And we nourish that through the sacramental life of the church and through the Beatitudes that we heard about in last week's gospel, of living those Beatitudes. So this call to holiness, this call to sainthood, is not something that Father and I received on the day of our ordination. It's something that we all have received. Priest, prophet, and king, all of us. Your dignity on the day of your baptism. This is not a responsibility of the few, but it's a responsibility of all of us. No matter where we are, whether we're at the Phoenix Open, a Super Bowl party, an office party, this is something that should be lived daily in our lives. And the Second Vatican Council reaffirmed this, called the Universal Call to Holiness. And this was discussed on the Dogmatic Constitution of the Church, Lumen Gentium. Let me quote that. Thus, it is evident to everyone that all the faithful of Christ, whatever rank or status, are called to the fullness of the Christian life and the perfection of charity by this holiness. Such a more manner of living is promoted in this society. Conform themselves to his image, seeking the will of the Father, being the glory of God, and through service of thy neighbor. End quote. Now do you get it? Now do you see where we're told you are the salt of the earth? This is why we were created. When we leave this door to the church after Mass, we're entering mission territory. This should constantly be part. This is all of our responsibilities to do this. People seem to say, with everything going around the world, that these are frustrating times, and look at what's happening in the world. Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. This is nothing new. We're just in a different age. And that is why Christ has us here today. We are called to live our sanctity. We are called to live our holiness. In you, the laity, I, as a cleric, I'm a cleric, but I also live in the world. We have access to places that sisters, brothers, priests don't have access to. The boardrooms, the offices, your homes and families. We all have this responsibility. Pope Francis tells us that our sainthood, yes, it begins on our knees and through prayer, but it just can't be that. We have to move out. We have to take Christ into the farthest corners of the land. And this is done through accompaniment, meeting people where they're at. It doesn't mean that we're negating objective truths. We know we have truths. But accompaniment says meeting people where they're at, loving them, building relationship, and then working through conversion. That's what we have to do. Christ didn't eradicate the Holy Roman Empire. He worked through it. He worked through conversion of heart. Let me give you an example where I was salt in my life. For the first 3 years of my career, I did academic medicine, and I loved it. I loved teaching. I was responsible for the medical students and the residents that came up to Phoenix for their OB-GYN rotation, and it was phenomenal. I loved lecturing. I loved teaching. But then we got a new chairman in our department. And people's philosophies of education are different, and that's acceptable, that's understandable. But he had a very specific fundamental difference than I did. And his fundamental difference, that he had a different view on life and religious freedom. Residents would come here to our program at OBGYN because you were never forced to participate in abortion or contraception or any of those things that could violate your principles, your religious principles. And he forced residents to violate their conscience and to go to Planned Parenthood to participate. So I was there in department at the time, myself and a few other faculty members. This was fundamentally wrong in so many ways. And we worked and collaborated with one of our local politicians. And things got so difficult there that I thought that I could make a better choice by trying to make that change outside of the department. So I left. I said it was wrong. I worked with these individuals. I left without a job, without a salary, without income. But I had my faith, I had a trusting wife, and a loving bishop who said, if you do the will of God, if you do what God has created you for, everything will be okay. And we did. I was sued along with a few of my closest friends for $20 million. And praise God, I never paid a dime. Okay? This is what we're called to do. And I've never been more happier and financially stable by doing what God had called me to do, to be in salt. If we don't live our sainthood, if we don't live this call to holiness to us, listen to what the Lord tells us. If salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So he calls us salt, and then he says, if you lose flavor, throw itself out. So if we are call ourselves Christians, but we're not willing to act on what we're being called, then we might as well surrender. But we all have these situations. We all have in our daily lives, we are called to be salt. We are all called to be holiness. We are called to not eradicate the culture, but to take what is true, good, and beautiful and illuminate it. And what doesn't work, we illuminate that and eradicate it. But we do it with love. Dr. Martin Luther King said, hate cannot dispel hate. Darkness cannot dispel darkness. Only light can dispel darkness. And we heard that today in the psalm. So that is our calling. So the next time that you hear pass the salt at the table, I hope that has a very different meaning in your life. So whatever opportunities you have this week to be salt, do it with joy in the risen Christ. Have a blessed week.